water, trying not to giggle. The lifeguard was tall, dark, and handsome, but Bree's mother told her not to fraternize with him because he was a townie. Bree didn't listen. Margot had her own tall, dark, and handsome young townie. Well, he wasn't really hers. He was much older, and they'd never even spoken. But they had sat across the same table at the library every summer since she was 10, him frowning over his books, her copying dresses from the latest fashion magazines. It was almost like a date. Only he wasn't there this summer, and now she was sorry that she'd never asked him what he was studying. The screen door slammed behind her, and her brother, Danny, ran past her and jumped down to the sand. "Hey, Magsie, want a ride to the library?"
"No, thanks. I'm busy, and it's Margot."
Danny grinned back at her. He pushed his motorcycle helmet over unruly red curls and made a bow. "Madam Margot." Then he reached up and scrubbed her hair. "Magsie." The pencil stub that was pushed through her equally unruly curls fell to the steps. She slapped at his hand, but he dodged away.
"See ya, Mags."
He ran around the side of the house. A minute later, she heard his new Honda 500 roar to life. Margot pulled at her hair. It had taken her 10 minutes to get it to lie flat, and now it was every which way again. She picked up the pencil and shoved it behind her ear. Brothers could be so annoying. She put two fingers to her lips and whistled. Brianna and Grace looked up and started walking toward her. They met halfway and turned as one toward the jetty at the end of the crescent beach. Brianna led the way, walking ahead as if she were already leaving them. They climbed up the rocks of the jetty, barely paying attention. They had climbed them so often. Then down again to the cove. The tide was in, and they had to splash through the water to reach the path that led through the woods. Margot lagged behind. Things were changing, and she wasn't sure she was ready. She knew some people outgrew the beach, but not the Selkies. Even when they got too old to explore and write secret messages and go crabbing, Margot would never be too old to go crabbing. The beach would still be a part of them, would live in a special place inside each of them. She felt a flutter of nerves. Today they were leaving something of themselves behind, just in case. It was cooler beneath the pines and scrub oak. Silently, they walked along the narrow path, nearly grown over with rhododendron and fern. When the path veered off, they ducked under the gnarled tree limb, climbed over the rotten log, and stopped at the entrance of the grotto. They had discovered it that first summer, an outcropping of rocks and a ledge of granite that formed a shallow cavern. It became their secret hideout, where first they made magic potions or hid from pirates, and later, talked about boys. They had grown older. The sapling whose roots spread over the rock had become a tree. But the grotto never changed. It was a magical place that could make dreams come true. Brianna flipped on her flashlight, crouched down, and ducked beneath the ledge. One by one, each took her place, sitting cross-legged in a circle, knees touching, while the flashlight cast their shadows eerily against the rough stone. Brianna reached into her string bag and pulled out a Tupperware container. She placed it in the center of the circle, lifted off the top, and glancing at the others, slowly reached back into the bag and pulled out the pink plastic diary where, that morning, each had made her last secret entry. Solemnly, she placed it in the Tupperware container. She closed the lid and sealed it tight. They gathered around the fissure in the rock wall. Brianna shoved the box inside, and they covered the opening with three large smooth stones. "The Selkies forever," Brianna intoned in her throaty voice. They crossed their hearts, licked three fingers, and raised them in the air. "The Selkies."